destination, depending on where the committee regarded, would be to allow for a situation where the expropriation could take place first without the question of compensation having to be determined by the court first. And we believe that the Constitution allows for that. So similarly to the way that one cannot go to the South African Revenue Services and say, well, I dispute how much I have to pay, let's go to court first. You first have to pay the taxes and then you can go to court. We say that similarly in relation to the implementation of expropriation of land without compensation, the state has the tool to expropriate the land first with zero compensation and to allow for disputes over whether or not the compensation was just and equitable in those circumstances to be determined by the courts or by the owner if they choose to do so. There would be no obligation in our view on the department to have to go through a lengthy legal process, first to expropriate the land, then to convince a court that it's justifiable, when the onus of showing that it's not just and equitable in our view would be on the owner of that land, that we then have to argue why they should be compensated for a portion of land that is not being used and that has been used by generations of labor tenants and their ancestors. We accept the point that this committee is going to be faced with two difficult issues. On the one hand, you are faced with a number of submissions that repeatedly tell you about the failures of land reform. On the other, you have public hearings where people in their thousands come and say that we want the Constitution changed. It is our view that the difficulty is going to be to marry those two together. Because in our experience, we have often seen, and the examples we've given you that Tabiso spoke about with the Mulati, is whether the principle is in the Constitution or in a separate statute, it matters not if it is not being implemented and means something to the people that are affected by it. So we can go to our clients after the process and say to them that Parliament has amended the Constitution to allow for expropriation of land without compensation. The very next question they will ask us is when is it going to happen? And that's what we've been at pains to point out. That for the last 22 years, our clients have been asking us, when is it going to happen?
I just wanted to add that in order to cure what we were concerned about, the Parliament can enact expropriation act instead of amending Section 25 of the Constitution. And also in that expropriation act, just to state the circumstances in which the expropriation of land without compensation is possible. And also the manner in which that can be achieved.
So what is difficult to have that in the Constitution, the last part of you, the circumstances, if you have the condition of with compensation, so why not the other?
I think part of the difficulty here, and I was debating this point with a colleague of mine earlier on, is that it's difficult, at least for us, looking at it from a constitutional law lens, to make a definitive statement about that without knowing exactly what the amendment is. So, for example, an amendment that would deal precisely with a range of circumstances, including the ones that we've spoken about, that allows for expropriation of land without compensation, may well be perfectly constitutional and be supported by the IRC. It's difficult for us to say so without seeing precisely what the text of the amendment would be. On the other hand, an amendment that would, for example, and we don't suggest for a minute that the amendment would deal with this, that would oust the jurisdiction of the courts, would be objectionable from a practical perspective, from our point, simply because we know for a fact that will end up in a five-year battle to the Constitutional Court, once again slowing down the land reform process, as happened with the Restitution Amendment Act. It was important and a principled position taken by Parliament to open up the process for new land claims. The procedure, unfortunately, failed. The Act was declared unconstitutional.
constitutional, and the constitutional court said that unfortunately those new claimants would have to wait in the line. That is our difficulty. It's not the principle of it. We support principle that we set out. It is whether or not that amendment then ties up with the accountability issues. In our view, it must. There be no hands to speak. You want to thank the Legal Resource Center for the presentation. It's certainly an enriching process. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Chair.
Our next presenter is the Popo Communal Institute.
Thank you, Honourable Chair. Thank you, Honourable Members of the Committee. My name is Lefa Berenson Mabuera. I come from the province of Limpopo, representing the voices of the community. Throughout our program since the fall up until this time, we have had many organizations talking about the communities. This afternoon, I'll be representing the voices of those communities. I'm the spokesperson of the Limpopo Communal Institutions Forum, which was established through the office of the Chief Land Claims Commissioner and the former Minister of Department of Rural Development and then our main objective at the institution is to work hand in glove with government to try and regularize the CPAs in ensuring that they comply with the CPA Act 28 of 1996, and then also to comply with their own constitutions of their various CPAs of communities. I see this opportunity, Honorable Chair, as an honor and privilege to be afforded this opportunity to come before this honorable Parliament to present the views of the Property Institution Forum. The communities, the families, and the individuals that I represent here are those people whose land was taken through racial laws. These are the people who lost beneficial and occupational rights, as well as the traditional ownership. These are the people who lost their dignity, whose families were brutally murdered under the apartheid government. These are the people who are exploited as garden boys and kitchen girls. These are the people who live under conditions of severe poverty. And those who are working receive very low income, who cannot sustain their families. These are the people whose land was taken away by fellow white individuals who claimed to be soldiers who participated in the First and Second World War, and that gave them the authority or the permission to forcefully take their land. These are the people who are on a daily basis are denied access to their ancestral graves, whose ancestral graves in some cases were destroyed to get rid of evidence when investigations were conducted by the Land Claims Commission. that the people who waited for more than 20 years for their land to be retained as a result of the willing buyer of internal politics. Is that the people who are squeezed in crowded and unproductive communal areas in the former homeland and the rural areas. These are the people, Honorable Chair, who does not enjoy the freedom and the democracy in their own country. These are the people, in some cases, who receive land but no post-settlement support. These are the very same people, Honorable Chair, who are rejected by the bank as a risky client when applying for funding. Despite the achievement of the constitutional democracy in 1994, the land question is at the heart of our struggle to overcome the legacies of many years of white minority rule. Indigenous people are still being dispossessed and are losing the land their fathers called home. Honorable Chair, despite the end of apartheid, many black people still do not own their homes. Land dispossession, apartheid's greatest travesty, still lives on. The brutal regime of apartheid has created the death capital, wherein in historically black areas, our people do not own land they occupy. Even after the group areas laws and the notorious 1913 Native Land Act have been repealed, racially discriminatory apartheid and land tenure continues. Honorable Chair, foxes have hold the belt of air that have land, but the son of man does not have a place to lay his head. Apartheid government used a plethora of legal instruments through legislation, resolutions, proclamations, and ordinances to legitimize land dispossession to systematically impoverish black people. I want to repeat, to systematically impoverish. This was a deliberate measure. By the advent of the new South Africa, almost 17,000 statutory measures were in place to control divisions, and all this had a catastrophic consequences to the black community. To give just one example, Honorable Chair, the Occupation Act 8 of 1886 decreed the acquisition of land in the Waterberg district free of charge, meaning without compensation. So the question we are dealing with here is not a new one. Our human rights are being violated, we are being excluded, marginalized, and face prosecution by the likes of AfriForum when assessing our own basic rights. Our ancestors also lost the land through the Native Administration Act, actually the Bill of 1917. Which ultimately provided for the acquisition of land from black people on a massive scale. Dealing with the particular issue of the Section 25, we are saying, Honorable Chair, the time has come, the time is now, let us stop pontification and do the right thing. Restore the dignity of our people, restore our people's land rights, give our people land back. Amend the Constitution to correct Section 25. Program Director, our Honorable Chair, depriving our people their property rights is not only depriving them of their constitutional rights, but depriving them of their dignity to live. Poverty levels among black people are the ultimate end Honorable Chair, is not to expropriate land, but to restore land to its rightful owner. Land is very central to economic inclusion. In conclusion, program or honorable chair, it is very clear that through this process, the captains are lifted and the emperor is found naked. Land question is a historical injustice, a sin that must be eradicated. Security of tenure, of land tenure, is one of the pillars of a peaceful and progressive society. Freeway cannot continue to separate Fountain and filthy Alexander forever. Meaning that the status quo cannot be allowed to continue. Our people are swimming in poverty. What we are saying as a CPI institution or a forum, expropriation of land should happen without compromising food security. We imply that our people need to be skilled to work the land. And the history of land acquisition should also be taken into consideration. And then we are now saying, Honorable Chair, pass or amend the Constitution to allow for expropriation of land without compensation. The reason being, many people are saying the Department of Rural Development has failed in delivering their mandate in terms of the land reform or the rest. What happens, Honorable Chair, is that government, as it is the sole funder of this program or of this community. The banks, they don't want to see CTA. They don't want to see them. So government is seated with a problem of babysitting these CTAs on a daily basis because of the CTA actually implemented. We just grouped people who do not have a relation to one another. And as a result, they fight on a daily basis. So, meaning that they were set to fail. The other aspect of why government, you know, program is very slow is that, as we have seen in the report, that many, you know, claimants prefer, you know, financial compensation as opposed to land restoration. This is because of their social economic conditions. It's not that they don't want the land. Those people are made to be very, very pathetically poor. Now, when a community opts for financial compensation, there is a land claim on a farm which is owned by now, the community say, no, we don't want this land back, we want a financial compensation. What happens? Mr. Panamera does not contribute in compensating the community. The very same government must pay compensation to the community. So that is why the budget of government or the department is not enough to look after the 1,005, you know, CPAs in this country. I'm not sure how many trusts we have. So that is the problem. And then once that has happened, the government pays the community, and then Mr. Van der Merwe, you know, remains with the farm. As if nothing has happened. He doesn't even pay a cent towards the compensation of the community. So that is the problem. Where will government find all the money to buy land to fund communities in terms of recap or whatever, you know, funding model that they have? So we are saying we believe that expropriation of land without compensation will help to fast track the land business.
Thank you, Mr. Baguela. Ms. Laps, thank you.
Thank you.
Members,
legislation. At the bottom in capital letters, you say the following. You say expropriation of land without compensation is not a new thing. The apartheid regime applied through the Occupation Act 8 of 1886. And then you continue. Just a technical correction. National Party came to power in 1948. So this must have been some other regime, not the apartheid regime. It could have been a colonial regime or some other one of that, be that as it might. The 4,000, the Van Merwe case that we referred to, where he retains the land, there must be 4,000 Mr. Van Merwe because those farms were bought and now belong to the state, but the state hasn't transferred. The question I would like to ask you is, in your presentation, also on page 7, at the top, point 7, you say the ultimate aim is not to expropriate land, but to restore land to its rightful owners. Now, what does rightful owners mean? Could that mean the people who were first entitled to the land, original occupants of the land? Is it your case that land should be returned to the rightful owners, being the koi and the son? And if not the koi and the son, why not the koi and the son? Thank you.
Another mentor.
Thank you very much for your presentation. At least you do acknowledge that there was never a market price when the labor was taken. There was no argument of market prices in the state. And there was no state which compensated anyone else who was then. Now, I just want to ask you two things. Do you agree that now the rightful owner of the state control of the state? And secondly, where would you put the argument of the banks and the business, which seeks to get like the country that the investors would run away? In fact, they haven't run away, the state. They will run away, investment would die if this happens. They would give
countries like Nigeria. In my presentation, there is on the second page, number 8. It says the investors made Nigeria the largest economy in Africa despite the Boko Haram insurgents. So this notion that these investors will be discouraged is not true. My question is, why are they not discouraged when they see the conditions under which our people are living in Uganda, in here in informal settlement? Why are they not discouraged by the living conditions, the pathetic living conditions of our people? That can't be correct. The rightful owners, I refer to the state. Thank you.
Mr. Manuela, we thank you very much. Another
rules that you have to follow. I'm sorry, I just want to make sure that I heard the last point of view correctly. Is your view then that the afterlife, to say the correct, the original owner is the state? Where?
No. I'm not talking in terms of nationalization. I am saying the rightful owners of the land is our government. And our government, with the responsibility given to them, they will redistribute the land and give people the tax.
Thank you very much for making a presentation before the committee said they need to reach the process of the committee from the CPA's perspective. Thank you very much. And Mr. Magabo Zindadia William Rabo Kulipo. Our next presenter, submitter that is requested to address the committee, is the Tswane Inner City Arts and Cultural Heritage Forum. Are we here? Mr. Solonzi. Right, is Afasa here?
Yes.
No Afasa, no Solo, no Swane. Right, honorable members, that brings the fourth day of the addresses by submitters to the committee who have requested to see the committee and present orally before the committee on the question of expropriation of land without compensation, possible amendment of the constitution thereof. I want to thank you members to stay the course and the program going forward. It will circulate, I think, today or this weekend in terms of what will happen next in terms of this process. There will be a meeting on the 12th, and then the report will then be issued, which will be a working document towards the adoption of the report and recommendation to the House by at least the 26th. To the 8th ATC and latest the 28th of September. Honourable Mulder, do you have any comments?
Yes, Chairperson, I would like to address on the specific issue.
Yes.
I want to have some clarity on the rate of our program. We've now completed the oral hearings of people who wanted to come and give evidence, but we haven't touched 700,000 written submissions. I haven't seen any of those. I know nothing about them, and I think I would like to know when this is going to be dealt with.
The written submissions, in fact, the committee has decided on Mulder that they access them to go through and sift through them. It can be done by parties or party representatives. That's one. The service provider that was solicited or contracted to handle the written submission will be in the committee on Wednesday the 12th to then give the update. And in that meeting, there will be the report on the written submission from the secretary. Honorable Rillenbach.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Sure, I'm happy to hear that, but the fact of the matter is that certainly my party wants access to the 780,000 written submissions who want to go through this. We want to get a feel for the sense of them, and we need to be able to sit and go through them, and we need the time to do that.
Yeah.
It's not something that will be taken care of in an afternoon.
No, certainly we have agreed, and we thought that you are already in that process of going through it into the second time as parties.
Thank you so much.
My support was that only 140,000 of those had been considered. Have we considered today the fact that all these written submissions that are requested are given? Is that from all 700,000? Was it only from the first 140,000? That I'd like to... The issue of the written submissions, where written submitters asked to have oral hearing, was that only relating to the first 140,000 that the service provider has considered, or does it apply to all 700,000? And that's the first, and then secondly, how can we access those 700,000? Are they hard copies? Because we've been getting hard copies. I mean, is there a place where we can go, or what is the arrangement to access those 700,000? Thank you, Jim.
Yeah, there are boxes in the committees for members. Those are in hard copies. I would like to think that those that are on electronic, that also make them available to you as you request. And secondly, the question of these oral presentation. These are the ones that we came to know of, and those that are not completed, who are still in the other batches. We, from the management committee point of view, we think that this is not, that's why I didn't announce that this is the conclusion of the oral presentation. There might still be an adjustment to the program to allow, as we come across those that have requested.
Another point. During the last 4 days, you correctly made the point continuously that these hearings that we've had the last 4 days are exactly on the same par as the hearings that were held during our visit to the provinces. I would take it that the written submissions should be exactly on the same level, that you cannot say that these, because our written submissions are given a lower value in terms of how we see them. That's why it's so important that we do get a feel of exactly what the people are really saying in those 7,000 written submissions.
Yeah. Yes, yeah, we totally agree with that. All right, so there be no other concerns or questions. Let me take this agenda to Wednesday. Thank you very much. Everybody, staff, media, participants so far.